Hello and welcome to this session, which is a Windows Server 2008 Network Access Protection, or NAP, technical overview. My name is Aaron Clutter. In today's session, we'll discuss network access protection and how it works. Let's start this session by going into more detail on exactly what we'll be covering. Network access protection, commonly referred to as NAP, is a new platform that, in the simplest terms, handles the health of your network. More specifically, NAP performs computer health policy validation, ensures ongoing compliance with health policies, and does a lot of other things to help ensure that your network is healthy and stays healthy. Network access protection includes a client and server architecture that consists of integrated components. It's straightforward and easy to understand, and we'll discuss this in depth later on. Administrators can configure Internet Protocol Security or IPsec enforcement, IEEE 802.1x enforcement, Virtual Private Network or VPN enforcement, Dynamic Host Configuration Protocol or DHCP enforcement, or all four depending on their network needs. As with most TechNet sessions, some prior experience of Microsoft technologies or similar technologies is always helpful. Here's a brief overview of knowledge that will be helpful, but not essential for this session. As we go through today's session, you'll hear various Microsoft acronyms and terminology. While we will explain all new terms related to today's session, there are some general terms from the industry or other versions of Microsoft products we may not spend time on. To assist you, we have listed out the areas that it may be helpful to be familiar with, either prior to this session or to reference afterwards. Although we won't go into the details of DHCP, you'll benefit if you have some experience with it. We'll also talk about IPsec and how NAP works with it. RRAS is the acronym for Routing and Remote Access. RRAS on a computer running Windows Server 2008 allows VPN-based remote access connections to an intranet. To cover the topics mentioned earlier and keep the session flow going, we've divided the session up into the following agenda items. First, we'll introduce you to NAP, a new platform that ensures the health of your systems by performing computer health policy validation and many other processes. Next, we'll look at how NAP works with DHCP to enforce health policies. Then we'll review how NAP can be used to enforce health policies for VPN connections. And finally, we'll look at how to use NAP with IPsec. So let's begin by talking about the current network situation today. We're living in a highly connected world that includes interconnected networks, distributed data, mobile workers, business extranets, remote access, web services, wireless, and mobile smart devices. Microsoft is a proponent of the changing concept of the edge, and we're thinking about it in a holistic way with our solutions. We're taking a broad view. Addressing the notion of security in a perimeter or boundaryless network environment, where basically the internet is your network, will take a cohesive approach. There are many Microsoft technology pieces already available and in place today. There are things we're working on that will come online in the near future. One of these is NAP. Enterprises are constantly being challenged by viruses that invade systems because of consultants and guests plugging in, employees connecting with VPN, and the everyday attacks on vulnerable computers in the network. In response to viruses and other threats, IT administrators are always on the lookout for tools to detect and manage threats, establish health policies, and require baseline compliance, keep the network resilient, remediate vulnerabilities, and manage the policy enforcement and remediation systems. Network access protection is a health overlay to security. NAP helps enforce health policy by managing and marshaling resources to remain in a healthy state, a healthy state as defined by corporate security policy. You can think of network access protection as a platform that we built as a core component of Windows. The platform allows for the following features: policy validation, restriction, remediation, and ongoing compliance. All four components working together is a primary differentiator between Microsoft's end-to-end solution and other solutions. The Network Access Protection Platform is a policy enforcement technology that allows third-party software vendors and system integrators to create complete solutions for system health-validated network access. For example, amongst its many settings, NAP allows you to specify a remote access policy for down-level computers, and you can specify a remote access policy for non-compliant computers. Policy validation determines whether the computers are compliant with the company's security policy. Compliant computers are deemed healthy. Network restriction limits network access to computers based on their health. Remediation provides necessary updates to allow the computer to get healthy. For example, a remediation network contains servers that can update non-compliant clients to a compliant state. When healthy, the network restrictions are removed. Ongoing compliance monitors changes to the company's security policy or to the computer's health, which may dynamically result in network restrictions. So this brings us to consider the overall architecture of NAP. The NAP architecture reveals an integrated environment to ensure the health of your system. The client environment includes a system health agent, or SHA, a quarantine agent, or QA, and an enforcement client, or EC. The SHA checks the state of a client and declares its health, such as patch state, virus signatures, system configuration, etc. The QA coordinates the SHA and the EC. The quarantine agent is cross-platform. Each SHA is defined for a system health requirement or a set of system health requirements. For example, there might be an SHA for antivirus signatures and an SHA for operating system updates. A specific SHA might be matched to a remediation server. For example, an SHA for checking antivirus signatures is matched to the server that contains the latest antivirus signature file. SHAs do not have to have a corresponding remediation server. For example, an SHA can just check local system settings to ensure that a host-based firewall is enabled. Windows Vista and Windows Server 2008 include a Windows Security Health Validator SHA. Third-party software vendors or Microsoft can provide additional SHAs to the Network Access Protection Platform. The enforcement client handles the method of enforcement. Each NAP EC is defined for a different type of network access or communication. For example, there's a NAP EC for DHCP configuration and a NAP EC for VPN connections. The NAP EC is typically matched to a specific type of NAP server. The DHCP NAP EC is designed to work with a DHCP-based NAP server. Some NAP ECs are provided with the NAP platform, and third-party software vendors can provide others. The remediation server installs necessary patches, configurations, and applications to bring clients to a healthy state. When in restriction, you're given routes to the remediation server. We don't want to keep you offline. The goal is to get you healthy and back on. The network access device and server have the intelligence to grant or deny you access to the network. This could be a firewall or an appliance. System Health Server provides client compliance policies by defining health requirements for system components on a client. The Network Policy Server includes the Quarantine Server and the System Health Validator. The Quarantine Server, or QS, sits on a Microsoft IIS Policy Server. RADIUS will make the rules decision. The QS coordinates the System Health Validators, or SHV. System Health Validators certify declarations made by health agents. The NAP architecture provides a general framework to deliver a solution a customer can craft over time, such as DHCP now and IPsec in the future, or monitoring and reporting now and enforcement later. Let's look at how NAP offers network layer protection. We'll examine a scenario of network access protection in action with DHCP and VPN. Health policy is set by the IT administrator. It is asynchronously plumbed by the system health servers to the IIS policy server. The IIS policy server keeps a health cache at any given time. The client tries to come in and requests network access. It passes across its statement of health, or SOH. The network access device ships this information over to the IIS policy server. IIS compares it to what's in the cache and makes certain determinations. The SOH doesn't meet health policy. At that point, the IIS policy server tells the network access device to restrict the client. It could be put in a VLAN or a separate subnet. The IIS policy server also tells the NAP what the client needs to be healthy. The The NAP system information is passed to the client by the NAP system and tells it how to access the fix-up servers. The client contacts the remediation server and requests updates. The remediation server provides the client with the necessary updates, so it will pass the required system health policies. The client returns to the network access device with an updated SOH. The network access device ships this information over to the IAS policy server. Now it matches policy, so the client gains full access to network resources. The SOH is reused to continue accessing network resources until the policy is updated. You can imagine that the cycle goes again with the client requesting network access, this time presenting an up-to-date SOH. Because it matches policy, the client is granted immediate access to the network. Now let's take a look at a scenario that addresses protection at the host layer. Here's an example of host layer protection in which a client tries to access the network. The first attempt by the client is denied. The client asks for a health certificate, but it is initially denied until it gets fixed up according to the policy. The client is updated by the remediation server. After the client gets its health certificate, it is finally allowed in. As we discussed earlier, there are many scenarios in which you can use NAP to enforce health policies. Enforcement works virtually the same whether you're using DHCP, VPN, 802.1.x, or IPsec. Healthy clients are given full access, and unhealthy clients are restricted. Administrators can configure DHCP enforcement, VPN enforcement, IEEE 802.1x enforcement, IPsec enforcement, or all four, depending on their network needs. Network access protection provides an infrastructure and an API set for extending network access protection functionality. Vendors and software developers can use the API set to build their own network policy validation, ongoing network policy compliance, and network isolation components that are compatible with network access protection. That is, vendors can provide extensions and plugins where they want to do something specific, like intrusion detection services. Network access protection is about customer choice. There's a misconception that NAP is only about DHCP and VPN. These were predominant features when NAP was scheduled to be released in Windows Server 2003 R2. The development time has allowed us to enrich the NAP platform and provide options beyond just DHCP and VPN enforcement. Some extra benefits of IPsec-based enforcement include the ability to isolate unhealthy clients. Secure enforcement cannot be bypassed by a reconfiguring client or by use of hubs and virtual PC technology. With IPsec, you don't have to worry about infrastructure upgrades. It works with today's switches and routers, and there's no need to replace or upgrade DHCP, VPN, and the like. IPsec also offers flexible isolation. Healthy systems can connect to quarantine systems, but not vice versa, and the isolation model defined by policy. We recommend that you use the enforcement mechanisms in combination. Each customer is different and will need to assess many factors such as risk, business models, health policies and management, access scenarios, infrastructure investments, and upgrade schedule, and so on. NAP empowers the customer to make a selection based on the unique circumstances of a customer's environment without compromising on the need for a strong, multi-layered network security and access policy management solution. So let's move on and talk about how NAP works with DHCP. DHCP is a technology that has been around for a long while. We'll discuss how NAP works with DHCP to enforce health policies. You can use network access protection with DHCP to enforce health policies, which can help protect the network against the spread of viruses, worms, and malicious software or malware. NAP enforces health policies for the following network access technologies: DHCP address configuration, network connections based on VPN, and communication based on IPsec. NAP also provides a suite of APIs that allow companies other than Microsoft to integrate their software into the NAP platform. By using the NAP APIs, software vendors can provide end-to-end solutions that validate health and remediate unhealthy clients. DHCP enforcement comprises a DHCP NAP ES component and a DHCP NAP EC component. Using DHCP enforcement, DHCP servers can enforce health policy requirements anytime a computer attempts to lease or renew an IP address configuration on the network. DHCP enforcement is the easiest enforcement to deploy because all DHCP client computers must lease IP addresses. Because DHCP enforcement relies on entries in the IP routing table, it is the weakest form of limited network access in network access protection. The DHCP server service on a computer running Windows Server 2008 provides automatic IP address configuration to intranet clients. Between a NAP client and a DHCP server, the NAP client, acting as a DHCP client, uses DHCP messages to obtain a valid IPv4 address configuration and to indicate its current system health state. The NAP server uses DHCP messages to allocate either an IPv4 address configuration for the restricted network and indicate remediation instructions if the DHCP client is non-compliant, or an IPv4 address configuration for unlimited access if the DHCP client is compliant. Before we move on to the first demonstration, let's look at our demonstration environment. Over the course of this session, we'll be using three different computers attached to two networks. One network represents the internal LAN, while the other represents an external network that will be used for VPN access later on. The bulk of our work will be done on the SEA DC01 server, which serves as our domain controller, as well as the following roles: NPS, DHCP, DNS, Certificate Authority, and the Health Registration Authority. The two Windows Vista client computers, SCA WRK001 and 002, will be used to test client access so that we can demonstrate NAP enforcement in action. So let's go on to our network environment. In this demonstration, we'll configure the server for network access protection for DHCP. We'll configure and enable client settings and then show what happens when a non-compliant client computer accesses the network to get an IP address from DHCP. Like other server roles, the network policy and access services role must be manually added. By itself, network access protection, or NAP, does not provide components to verify or correct a computer's health. Other components, known as system health agents, or SHAs, and system health validators, or SHVs, provide network policy validation and compliance. Windows Vista includes the Windows Security Health Agent to monitor the computer health services of the Windows Security Center, and Windows Server 2008 includes the corresponding Windows Security Health Validator. The Network Policy Server, or NPS, will validate the system health of clients against the configured network health policies. Network health requirements are defined by system health validators. Therefore, the system health validator needs to be configured. The default SHV is compatible with both Windows Vista and Windows XP SP2 clients. For this demonstration, the system health policy will only require that Windows Firewall and automatic updating are enabled, although you could also require that virus and spyware protection be installed on the client computers to be considered healthy. Next, we must configure the network policy server health policies. These policies define the SHV validation results that are interpreted by NPS and are used when creating the health enforcement policies. We'll create two policies. The first will apply to client computers that are compliant with our system health validator. If we look in the SHV checklist, we can see that there are various conditions we can select to define this health policy, such as client passes all or some, or fails all or some SHV checks. In our environment, in order for the client computer to be considered compliant, it must pass all SHV checks. Again, this SHV check means that a compliant client computer must have both the Windows Firewall and automatic updates enabled. Second, we'll define what it means for a client computer to be considered non-compliant. In this case, a computer will be judged as non-compliant if it fails any of the SHV checks, meaning if either or both the firewall and Windows updates are not configured properly, the client will be deemed non-compliant. So now we've configured the SHV and the standard compliant and non-compliant health policies. We need to define policies that will tell the NPS how to handle client computers as they come onto the network. The network policies are used to enforce the actions that will be taken based on the client computer health. There needs to be a policy that will be applied to computers that are compliant with the health policy and one that will be applied to computers that are not compliant. We'll first create a network policy that will grant full network access to healthy, compliant client computers. You can further specify a network connection method. If a source is specified, access requests from that source are processed while others are not. This will determine which health policies apply to which incoming connections. In this first scenario, this will apply to DHCP requests. There are a lot of available conditions that you can define for whatever policy you've specified to be applied, such as day and time restrictions, Windows or users groups, and radius client properties, among others. Here, we'll specify that the connecting computer must be NAP capable, meaning Windows XP SP2 or Windows Vista. For this network policy, we're mostly concerned that the computer passes the health policy compliance check that we defined earlier. So we'll select the compliant health policy. Again, remember this means that the computer needs to have both Windows Firewall and automatic updates enabled to be allowed full access. By selecting Access Granted, we aren't actually allowing the computer onto the network. We're simply stating that computers that match the conditions of this policy will be allowed to be further evaluated. You can also enforce specific authentication methods. In this scenario, the machine health validation will serve as authentication. When we're using NAP with VPN, we'll require more stringent authentication methods. Constraints are additional parameters that you can define for the connection request. This could be an idle timeout, day or time restriction, or network connection type. On the settings page, you can define what settings will be applied if the conditions of the policy are met. For the full access policy, we will not restrict network access. And now that we've defined a compliant policy, we need to create the non-compliant one. Again, we'll require that the connecting client computer to be NAP capable. And this time, we'll select the non-compliant health policy that we created earlier. And again, even though we're selecting access granted here, that only means that we're allowing the client connection to continue to be processed. This doesn't mean that they will have unrestricted network access. And as before, we'll only perform a machine health check for authentication. We don't need to define any additional constraints. The main difference between this policy and the compliant one is that we'll enforce network access protection in this policy. The allow full network access for a limited time setting allows you to offer some flexibility to users even if they fail the compliance check. This could be useful if an important security patch has been released and you want to ensure that your users have enough time to get the patch installed before they're restricted from the network. For this scenario, we'll allow non-compliant clients access only to a restricted network. There are many options that can be set to offer remediation for non-compliant computers. We'll specify the remediation server group that clients can access for software updates. This is a server that resides on the restricted network that will help non-compliant computers to correct their settings. You can also direct your users with limited access to a web page for assistance. This could be useful in helping them find out why they are restricted or where they can download virus updates or other security patches, for example. You can also force non-compliant computers to be updated automatically when possible, but we'll disable this setting so that we can manually adjust the client computer ourselves a bit later. Now let's move to our Windows Vista client computer and review this computer's current configuration. First, we'll open up the Windows Firewall properties and notice that we get a security warning because the firewall is currently disabled. While not advisable, this was done intentionally for the purposes of this demonstration. Similarly, Windows Updates is also disabled. Therefore, what we have is a client computer with no firewall and no way to automatically receive Windows updates. Clearly, this computer is not compliant with the health policies we've defined for DHCP client computers. On the desktop, we've set up a simple MMC console that contains some tools that we need for adjusting the client settings necessary for NAP enforcement. First, we're going to go into the Services console for this computer and configure the Network Access Protection Agent service to start automatically. Without this service, the system health agents on the Windows Vista-based computer will not respond appropriately to health checks by the NPS. And we have one more NAP client configuration setting to make. In the NAP client configuration console, we'll enable the DHCP quarantine enforcement client. This provides DHCP enforcement for NAP, which we'll see in a moment. So with these settings in place, we'll restart this computer and move back to the Windows Server 2008 server to configure the DHCP settings. DHCP in Windows Server 2008 works well with NAP. We'll go ahead and define a new DHCP scope for this server. We'll call this the NAP scope. Next, we'll define the start and end IP addresses in the scope. We don't need to add any exclusions or adjust the lease duration settings. We'll also configure the scope options manually in a moment. With the scope created, we now need to activate it. So far, what we've done isn't much different than what you do in Windows Server 2003. So now we'll go into the properties for the NAP scope, enable Network Access Protection, and verify that it's using the default NAP profile. Next, we'll configure the scope options for the default user class. This will include supplying a default DNS server address to DHCP clients. And a domain name of contoso.com. Again, this is for the default user class. Next, we'll define the scope options for the default Network Access Protection class. The DNS server address will be the same. However, the NAP domain name will be called restricted.contoso.com. Client computers that fail their health validator checks will still be assigned an IP address, but will be placed in a restricted network until their settings are updated. The final step on the DHCP server is to authorize it. This will allow it to serve IP addresses to clients that request them. Now we'll move back to our Windows Vista-based client computer. When we log on, if we look in the notification area, we can see an icon that tells us that network access is limited until we update the computer. So let's see if we're able to get an IP address from the DHCP server yet. We have been assigned an IP address, but we are in the restricted.contoso.com domain. This tells us that we've failed the compliance health check for some reason. Let's take a closer look at the NAP icon in the notification area. If a client fails to comply with a network policy, this dialog box will give you more information as to what failed. If we look through the results, we can see what we already know. The computer failed its health compliance check because it didn't detect a firewall and automatic updates is disabled. Remember, computers must pass all SHV checks in order to be considered in compliance with the network access policy. Windows Vista makes it very easy to accomplish tasks that required many more steps in previous versions. For example, we can turn on the firewall with a single click. Similarly, we can easily turn on Windows updates. Although we've shown you what can happen when a client fails its health policy check, in a real domain environment, you'd probably want settings such as Windows Firewall and automatic updates enabled and enforced through group policy. You'd also probably want to enable the auto-remediation feature in NAP so that simple security features could be automatically enabled without user intervention. We'll look at that more closely in the next demonstration. But now if we look at our network configuration again, we can see that we've been automatically moved to the unrestricted network. When the computer became compliant, no further user action was required. Let's move on and talk about how NAP works with VPN. Routing and Remote Access, or RRAS, is used with VPN-based remote access connections. Let's talk about how NAP works with RRAS to enforce health policies on VPN-based remote access connections to an intranet. RRAS on a computer running Windows Server 2008 allows VPN-based remote access connections to an intranet. The VPN NAP enforcement server for VPN connections is new functionality in RRAS that uses Extensible Authentication Protocol, or EAP, RADIUS, the encapsulation of EAP messages inside RADIUS messages, to pass system health messages using a PAPP-TLV, or type length value, between NAP clients and the NPS server. VPN enforcement is done through IP packet filtering. The VPN NAP ES on the VPN server, a component of routing and remote access, sends an EAP request identity message to the VPN NAP EC on the VPN client. The VPN NAP EC is new functionality in the Remote Access Connection Manager service that obtains the list of SOHs from the NAP agent and sends the list of SOHs as a PAP-TLV message. Alternately, the VPN NAP EC can send a health certificate in a PAP-TLV message. We'll show this in more detail in the next demonstration. In this demonstration, we'll configure network access protection to enforce health compliance for VPN connections. Using VPN enforcement, VPN servers can enforce health policy requirements anytime a computer attempts to make a VPN connection to the network. This provides strong limited network access for all computers accessing the network through a VPN connection. NAP VPN enforcement requires configuration of both the routing and remote access service and the network policy server, so we'll start by enabling and configuring RRAS. The RRAS service provides clients VPN access to clients on the external network. Next, we'll configure our RRAS server to receive only VPN connections. Then we need to specify which network interface is connected to the external network. On our server, we have two network interfaces, and we've labeled one LAN and one VPN, so we'll select the VPN interface. We'll configure a range of static addresses to assign VPN clients. For this range, we'll use 192.168.16.201 through 192.168.16.210. If we had a large network with multiple remote access servers, we may consider using Radius for central authentication, but in our scenario, our RAS authenticating connection requests will suffice. This dialog box tells us that the RRAS created a default authentication policy and that if we were using an internal DHCP server, that we would need to configure the DHCP relay agent. We'll set up authentication and a connection request policy on NPS in a moment. Connection request policies, or CRPs, are conditions and settings that validate requests for network access and govern where this validation is performed. In this scenario, a single CRP will be used to authenticate the client for VPN access. Next, we need to specify a condition to which this policy will apply. Since we want this to apply to all VPN connection requests, the simplest condition to configure is a day and time restriction. Actually, what we're defining is more of a day and time permission of every day, all hours. If we had a Radius server for central authentication, we could configure connection request forwarding in this wizard. The main function of this connection request policy is to define allowed authentication methods for VPN connections. For authentication, we'll require Protected Extensible Authentication Protocol, or PEAP. This is a relatively new member of the family of EAP protocols and is used to create an encrypted channel between an authenticating PEAP client and the NPS. We'll also specify the EAP-MSCHAP-V2 secured password authentication method. We don't need to configure any further settings for the CRP. Next, we need to configure network policies on the NPS. This won't be much different than what we configured earlier for DHCP. We'll begin by creating a VPN-compliant network policy. We'll then select the Remote Access Server Network Access Server type. And as before, we'll require two conditions to be met. The first is that the connecting computer be NAP-capable. And the second is that the computer must match the compliant health policy that we configured earlier. Remember, this is the health policy that requires computers to have Windows Firewall and automatic updates enabled. We can quickly move through the access permissions, authentication methods, and constraint settings, as we've already covered these previously, and are simply accepting the defaults. It is worth mentioning again that we don't need to configure authentication methods here, as it's already covered by the connection request policy that we just configured. And now we'll set up the non-compliant VPN connection request network policy. This will be similar to what we've already seen, but with a few differences. Again, we'll require a NAP-capable client. And we'll select the non-compliant health policy that we configured in the first demonstration. Everything else will be the same until we get to the Configure Settings page. First, we'll enable NAP enforcement to restrict network access. We'll leave auto-remediation on for this policy. Another setting we'll configure is IP filters. First, we'll configure an inbound filter that will ensure that traffic coming from non-compliant computers can only reach the NPS. It's important that we specify to permit only traffic that matches these packets. Additionally, we'll configure an outbound filter that will ensure that only traffic from the NPS can be sent to non-compliant computers. And again, we want to be sure to permit this traffic. So now let's move on and talk about how NAP works with IPsec. IPsec is also widely used today. Let's discuss how NAP works with IPsec to enforce health policies. IPsec enforcement divides a physical network into three logical networks. A computer is a member of only one logical network at any time. The logical networks are defined in terms of which computers have health certificates and which computers require IPsec authentication with health certificates for incoming communication attempts. The logical networks allow for limited network access and remediation and provide compliant computers with a level of protection from non-compliant computers. IPsec enforcement defines the following logical networks. Secure networks are the set of computers that have health certificates and require that incoming communication attempts use health certificates for IPsec authentication. On a managed network, most server and client computers that are members of the Active Directory domain would be in the secure network. Boundary networks are the set of computers that have health certificates but do not require that incoming communication attempts use health certificates for IPsec authentication. Computers in the boundary network must be accessible to computers on the entire network. Restricted networks are the set of computers that do not have health certificates, that include non-compliant NAP client computers, guests on the network, or computers that are not NAP capable, such as computers running versions of Windows that do not support NAP, Apple Macintosh, or Unix-based computers. Computers in the secure network can initiate communications with computers in all three logical networks. Communications initiated to computers in the secure network or boundary network are authenticated with IPsec and health certificates. Communications initiated to computers in the restricted network are not authenticated with IPsec. Computers in the secure network will accept communications initiated from computers in the secure and boundary networks that are authenticated with IPsec, but will not accept communications initiated from computers in the restricted network. Computers in the boundary network can initiate communications with computers in the secure or boundary networks that are authenticated with IPsec and health certificates, or with computers in the restricted network that are not authenticated with IPsec. Computers in the boundary network will accept communications initiated from computers in the secure and boundary networks that are authenticated with IPsec and health certificates, and from computers in the restricted network that are not authenticated with IPsec. Members of the boundary network will typically only consist of the HCS and NAP remediation servers. Servers in the boundary network must be accessible from non-compliant NAP clients in the restricted network to perform initial remediation functions and obtain health certificates, and from compliant computers in the secure network to perform ongoing remediation functions, renew health certificates, and to manage the computers in the boundary network. A computer is a member of the secure or boundary network for the time specified in the validity period of the health certificate. Before the health certificate expires, the IPsec-based NAP client contacts the HCS to obtain a new health certificate. The validity time period can be configured on the HCS. Computers in the restricted network can initiate communications with computers in the restricted and boundary networks. Computers in the restricted network cannot initiate communications to computers in the secure network unless specifically allowed through the IPsec policy settings of the computers in the secure network. Computers in the restricted network will accept communications initiated from computers in all three logical networks. We'll show how to configure this in the final demonstration. In this demonstration, we'll configure NAP for IPsec. We'll show how to configure NPS, certificates, and health registration settings, as well as how to configure a client computer. We'll begin by setting up a global security group in Active Directory that can be used to exempt group members from undergoing a health check. Computers that are members of this global security group will be able to access computers that require a health certificate, regardless of their health state. In our environment, the only member of this group will be this computer, which serves as the domain controller, NPS, certificate authority, and health registration authority. Next, a certificate template must be created for computers that are given exemptions from NAP health checks. This certificate template will be configured with two application policies, client authentication and system health authentication. We'll duplicate and modify the workstation authentication template because it is already configured with the client authentication application policy. We'll name the new template System Health Authentication and publish the certificate in Active Directory. This will allow information about the certificate template to be made available throughout the enterprise. A certificate authority processes each certificate request by using a defined set of rules. Certificate templates can be customized with a number of extensions that regulate their use. Application policies allow you to specify which certificates can be used for certain purposes, so for this template, we need to edit the application policies extension. Windows Certificate Services comes with two predefined system health authentication policies. We want to be sure to select the second one in the list. Next, we need to allow the IPsec NAP exemption group to enroll for this certificate template. This will allow this computer to be exempt from the health checks and properly act as the Enterprise Health Registration Authority. Now we can issue the new health certificate template. The Health Registration Authority, or HRA, must also be given security permissions to request, issue, and manage certificates. It must also be granted permission to manage the Certificate Authority, or CA, so that it can periodically clear expired certificates from the certificate store. When the HRA is installed on a computer different from the issuing CA, permissions must be assigned to the HRA computer name. When the HRA and CA are located on the same computer, such as in our configuration, these permissions must be assigned to network service. Next, we'll configure the HRA itself. In our environment, since we're using an Enterprise CA, we need to specify this in the Certificate Authority properties in the HRA console. Doing so also forces us to select the System Health Authentication template that we just created for use with authenticated and anonymous compliant certificates. You may recall a few moments ago that we allowed the IPsec NAP exemption group permissions to enroll for the System Health Authentication Certificate. This server has a few certificates already installed for client and server authentication. So let's install the System Health Authentication Certificate. In a moment, we'll configure auto-enrollment through group policy to allow computers to auto-enroll for certificates, but for this certificate on this computer, it's okay to manually enroll for it. Now in the Details pane, we can see the System Health Authentication Certificate in the list of installed certificates on this server. As we just mentioned, you can enforce certificate auto-enrollment through group policy. So we're going to go ahead and edit the default domain policy to enable this setting. The setting can be found in the Computer Configuration node under Windows Settings, Security Settings, Public Key Policies. We'll open the Certificate Services Client Auto-Enrollment Policy setting and enable it. We'll also select the settings to renew and update certificates automatically as needed. Before we move on, we'll force a refresh of group policy on this server so that we can be sure the settings are in place. So far, we've spent most of our time setting up certificates and related infrastructure services, but now let's go ahead and configure NAP for IPsec. In the previous two demonstrations, we manually configured all of the related NAP policies and settings, but this time, we're going to use the Configure NAP wizard. This wizard allows you to automatically configure NAP for many common scenarios, including DHCP and VPN. Because this NAP health policy server has HRA installed locally, we do not need to add RADIUS clients, nor do we need to grant or deny access to any specific computer groups. The Windows Security Health Validator is automatically selected, as is auto remediation. For the sake of this demonstration, we'll turn off auto remediation. On the summary page, we can see a list of the connection request policy, health policies, and network policies that will be created by the wizard when we finish. Let's take a closer look at some of the policies that were created. If we look at the NAP IPsec with HRA compliant health policy, we can see that it's just like the compliant policy that we used in the previous two demonstrations. The same can be said for the NAP IPsec with HRA non-compliant policy. The connection request policy is also similar to what we configured earlier, causing it to be in effect all hours of all days. And finally, we can see that the wizard created compliant and non-compliant network policies that use a computer check only as the authentication method. So as we can tell, the wizard does a good job of creating all the necessary settings as far as NAP goes. The certificates and HRA settings still need to be configured manually. Now back on the Windows Vista-based client computer, we'll first disable the Internet network. This will close down the VPN connection and ensure that all network traffic is on the local network of the NPS. As with DHCP and VPN, there is an enforcement client for IPsec that must be enabled. This is called the IPsec relaying party. The other NAP client configuration setting we must define is a trusted server group. This will allow us to specify the HRA servers that we can use to obtain health certificates. We'll create a new trusted server group and call it Trusted HRA Servers. When you install the Health Registration Authority role service of NPS, the domain HRA website is automatically created. This is the website that will process domain authentication requests for health certificates. This is the website that will process domain authenticated requests for health certificates. Another site for anonymous requests can also be configured, but in our environment, only domain authenticated requests are used. Next, we'll reapply group policy settings so that we're sure the client received the auto-enrollment setting. We'll also stop and restart the NAP client agent service to ensure that the client recognized the trusted HRA settings and enrolls for the system health authentication certificate. Let's check the local computer certificate store to make sure that we've received it. When we look in the personal certificate store on the local computer, we can see the system health authentication certificate. This tells us that first, we've configured everything correctly, and second, this computer meets the requirements of the network. So let's see what happens when we disable the firewall, causing the computer to no longer be compliant. When we turn off the firewall, we can see an icon in a notification area telling us that network access is limited until we update the computer. Now, if we go back and refresh the local certificate store, we can see that the health authentication certificate is gone. So in a real environment, we would have separate logical networks defined that would place the computer in either secure, boundary, or restricted network based on the settings we've defined. This would involve setting up new organizational units and configuring additional IPsec group policy settings and is beyond the scope of this particular session. But for our purposes, we can be satisfied with the results that we've seen so far. The client receives the certificate when it's compliant and loses it when it's not. The presence or lack of this certificate would determine on which logical network the client computer would be placed. That just about wraps up this session. Let's review what we've covered. Network Access Protection is a Windows platform with health and enforcement plugins that provides an integrated defense in depth at multiple layers. NAP can provide network access, host access, and application access in any combination as needed where appropriate. Many changes and upgrades have been made based on customer need, risk assessment, existing infrastructure, and the upgrade cycle. NAP has broad industry support through its very extensible platform architecture. This provides added value because network vendors are able to innovate and provide additional value. NAP also provides a standards-based approach that means a multi-vendor, end-to-end solution has full ecosystem of partners, which means a third-party investment will be preserved. To get more information on the products and technologies we've covered here today, we have some online resources available that can help you. For the most comprehensive technical information on Microsoft products, visit the main TechNet website at www.microsoft.com/technet. Additionally, visit www.microsoft.com/technet/add-302 for more information on books, courses, certifications, and other community resources that relate directly to this particular session. There are a number of other resources that are available from Microsoft. Microsoft Learning develops courseware called Microsoft Official Curriculum, or MOC, which includes e-learning, MS Press books, workshops, clinics, and Microsoft Skills Assessment. MOC is offered in instructor-led environments. It offers comprehensive training courses for IT professionals, support, and implement solutions using Microsoft products and technologies. There are 22 online and instructor-led courses available that cover Microsoft Windows Server 2008. One of the most useful is 5934, which is an online collection composed of 5 clinics, where you're introduced to the new features and functionality in Windows Server 2008. 5939 is another online clinic where you learn the new tools and improved features for server management and administration of Windows Server 2008. This includes PowerShell task automation, remote administration, performance, and diagnostic tools. For more information, please visit www.microsoft.com/learning. There's also an assessment program available that can help you test your knowledge. Microsoft Skills Assessment is a free online learning tool. It's an easy way for IT professionals to check their skills. You can quickly check your skills for implementing or managing Microsoft products or business solutions. Just take a short 30-question assessment and see how well you know your stuff. The skills assessment includes a personalized learning plan, which has links to Microsoft official curriculum, specific TechNet articles, Microsoft press books, and other Microsoft learning content. There's also a way to measure how well you did compared with others who took the same assessment. Microsoft Skills Assessment is an expanding learning platform. Available now are assessments for Windows Server 2003, including security and patch management, Exchange Server 2003, Windows Storage Server, Office 2003, and VisualStudio.net. If you want to take your skills assessment to the next level, a number of certification programs are available. In the highly competitive IT job market, how can you differentiate yourself from the next candidate? The Microsoft Certification Program provides that edge. Earning a specific accreditation provides objective validation of the ability to successfully perform critical IT functions. Embraced by industry professionals worldwide, Microsoft certification remains one of the most effective ways to reach long-term career goals and is a surefire way for companies to develop and retain valuable IT staff. There are a number of accreditations available, starting with a basic Microsoft Certified Professional, or MCP. You can choose to become a fully certified Systems Administrator, or MCSA, or Systems Engineer, MCSE, or a Desktop Specialist, MCDST. Away from the infrastructure side, the MCDBA certification covers the SQL Server products. For more information about the certification program, please visit www.microsoft.com/learning/MCP. This session was brought to you by TechNet. TechNet has gone through some changes recently, which you might find interesting. To help explain this further, I'd like to introduce Ian Brackenbury, TechNet Subscriptions Product Manager.
TechNet Plus is an essential, premium, web-enabled, and live support resource that provides IT professionals with fast and easy access to Microsoft experts, software, and technical information, enhancing IT productivity, control, and planning. With convenient access to all these resources in one online location, TechNet Plus provides you with what you need to help you evaluate products and learn new skills, plan for and deploy new technologies, and support and maintain your IT environment. For evaluation and learning, you get access to all Microsoft full-version software for evaluation without time limits. This includes Microsoft Server, client, and application software titles. With full-version software, you can make informed decisions about new technologies at your own pace. You also receive access to the latest betas before public release. Be the first to try out the latest pre-release versions of Microsoft operating systems, servers, and business applications. TechNet Plus also offers quarterly training resources, including select Microsoft e-learning courses for free, so you can keep your skills current, prepare for a certification exam, or get ready for a specific project. For planning and deployment, the TechNet Library includes resources to help you plan for and deploy new technologies in your IT environment, including a complete knowledge base, resource kits, utilities, and technical training. You also get exclusive tools like System Center Capacity Planner to accurately plan for and deploy Exchange Server and System Center Operations Manager. And to stay informed, your subscription also includes a free subscription to TechNet Magazine, the Microsoft Journal for IT professionals. For support and maintenance, TechNet Plus comes with two complimentary professional support incidents. You can talk to a Microsoft support professional to quickly resolve your mission-critical technical issues fast. TechNet Plus also provides access to over 100 managed news groups. You can exchange ideas with other professionals and get expert answers to your technical questions within the next business day, guaranteed. You also get access to TechNet Library resources to help you support and maintain your IT environment, including security updates and service packs. TechNet Plus offers proven value that far exceeds its cost. The two complimentary professional support incidents alone more than offset the cost of a TechNet Plus subscription. Add to that the evaluation software and beta software and other technical resources, and TechNet Plus clearly boosts productivity. Every IT professional on the team needs one. For more information or to purchase a TechNet Plus subscription, please visit technet.microsoft.com/subscriptions.